Ladies and gentlemen, this is the podcast on everything. We are recording in my vehicle right now because content has been lacking, and that's due to everything I got going on. You guys have known for quite some time how crazy my life has been, all the directions I've been having to go, and the content. We've missed a lot of things, episodes we've wanted to do, we just couldn't do, based on my timing, based on other timings. So we're going to try a new way, which a lot of people do for YouTube and other stuff, and that's just record how you can. So right now we are recording in my car, and I say we, it's me, there's no we, it's just me. So I am recording in the car. One of the things I want to get out that's relevant, super quick, is the WNBA finals just wrapped up. And you know me, I'm in basketball deep. I'm a lover of the game, so to speak. And I'm a critical fan of my team and basketball in general, of how things should be, and maybe a little opinionated, but I'm almost always accurate. I mean, let's just use this example. James Harden, I said about a decade ago, would not win a championship if he is the main player on the team. He is a superstar. He has to be a role player. And he can't be touching the ball as much as he touches the basketball in a game, or he'll never win. And I even went out maybe like even in 2016 and said he would not even get to a championship. And people started laughing and saying, I don't know what I'm talking about, saying he's the best player in the game right now. I'm like, no, he's not. You default cannot be the best player in basketball if you only can play offense. Half of the game, you have to play defense. So if you're one of the worst on that and one of the best, you can't be combined the best. It's just the way it is. And I've been saying that, and now people are starting to come around to me and starting to say, Dan, you're right. James Harden, he's up there in age now. He's not going to win. He's gone on multiple teams. Those teams have had very little success. You might have just heard a car going by, probably about 60. Shouldn't be going that fast. Speed limit's 40. But, yeah, so my history when it comes to certain things in basketball, it's highly accurate. That's just one example. Don't need to go on and on about that. But I'm a fan of the game. I coach it. I'm involved in it. There's things that I see. And the WNBA has an issue. And we all know they have many issues. I mean, it's a league that hasn't been successful. We've talked about their ticket sales in the past, how low they are, and how big of a deal it was to get, let's be honest, two huge college superstars to go in at the same time. And people are going to say, what about Cameron Brink? She got hurt. She's not there yet. She's in L.A. If she starts doing good, maybe they'll have three superstars. But right now, there's the big two, and we all need to, you know, just accept that right now it's the big two. It was Angel and it was Caitlin. And specifically, Caitlin brought people to care about the WNBA. And they did not capitalize on that. They really are mismanaging their league and their sport. They're every step of the way, to do something stupid, they do it. This might end up costing me, but I think they just expanded to Portland. Bad idea. Boston, Philadelphia, Miami, somewhere on the East Coast that has basketball that you haven't tried. You've tried in Portland and you failed. So I don't know why they're trying a second time yet. But it's just the mismanagement. I mean, right now, I think there's 8 out of 12 teams are looking for coaches, which is unreal. So it's basically like the two in the championship are safe and everybody else is basically gone. It's an unfathomable amount of coaches gone in a league. And it might do this for the next couple years because of the popularity and this and that. Who knows? But it's being mismanaged. The person in charge, I forget her name, she's not doing a good job. People can hate on Manfred, they can hate on Gary Bettman, they can hate on the guy running the NFL. His name, blank. I'm drawing a blank right now. Picture him, drawing a blank. It happens. But, and Adam Silver, like, all for some reason, everyone doesn't like these guys. However, she was given a golden egg and found a way to crack it. And some of that is just on her. Some of it is just on the players being just brats and just hating on a specific person who's bringing people in. And you can hate on her all you want, but when 30% of the flagrant fouls are on one individual out of your whole league, it's obvious that there's a hit out on her, right? Like, look back to the Brett Favre time in I believe it was the Vikings when they had a bounty. And they were the ones that had bounty, or he had bounty on himself, and the Saints had a bounty on him. That's what it was. So that's basically what they just did. They just did a bounty on this girl and nothing happened. I think what she couldn't control got out of hand, and it made people not want to watch it and go, this is why we don't support the WNBA. And I'll get to the finals and the awfulness of that, but also how great it was. Just looking at her own team, how do you not defend a teammate? Is she that awful as a teammate that you'll just let her get hit and just stand there and just let her have it? Fall to the ground, elbows, face, getting hit with hand, like everything, hard fouls. And you just let her keep taking it. Like, where is someone stepping up and defending her? In hockey, there would have been a fight at some point. You don't do that to a superstar on any team. They don't let you get away with that. And then you take the biggest superstar the league has ever seen, and no one on our team wants to defend her? I just don't get it. I mean, you can tweet defender, that doesn't do a goddamn thing. What you need to do is show the other players on the other team on the court that you're not going to tolerate it. You know, like Michael Jordan was getting his ass handed to him. You watch The Last Dance, you listen to what we talked about 4 years ago about The Last Dance. Look at those episodes. Those are fantastic episodes. But people started defending him, and it was pretty instant. Like, you couldn't do it at a certain point in the season, but the game point was like, we're not letting you do this. And the league let it happen. It's basically what was happening here, except way worse, because his teammates helped defend him. He was just going up against the Pistons, who were willing to fight anybody. These other women They're not. They're just going to do it and walk away. And then you have, you know, you have that. And you have people just getting just petty, jealous. And Charles Barkley was right. They're petty. Because they're like, well, I've been in league with so-and-so. You know, I was on a blah, 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 blah. Guess what? Unfortunately, no one finds you appealing enough to go to the games in high volumes. Like, Wilson on Vegas, she's the beast. Best player in the league, by far, in my opinion. But she's not bringing people, not from her town, or in Vegas, I should say, to games by the thousands. Like, the amount of ticket sales for Indiana Fever games to the amount of ticket sales for other games, huge, huge difference. So we got to be honest. Like, she brought it in, and they dropped the ball this year. They dropped it. They had a golden egg, and they freaking dropped it. It's embarrassing. As a professional league, you should be embarrassed for yourselves. These come around every once in a while, these generational superstars. You know, you look at Tiger Woods, you look at Sidney Crosby, you go to LeBron James. You know, those are the recent ones in all of these sports. And they didn't drop the ball. They capitalized remarkably on those, and it skyrocketed. The WNBA, I have no idea which way it's going to go. They lost $40 to $50 million this year. How? You have 12 teams. That means the average team lost like $4 million. Like, how? You have 40 games. Like, let's do the math here. Like, that's a ridiculous amount of money. You know? So, we're actually going to do the math. So, let's say they lost... Each team lost $4 million. And they played 40 games. Right? So they lost $100,000 a game. And another thing that is really hurting the WNBA is... I hate to say it, because I'm going to look like that. Bill Burr says it right. Like, you're complaining about your salaries. You're not the same as the NBA. You have to face it. You might both play basketball, but you're not playing the same sport of basketball. It's completely different. If you were, you would be shooting at the same range that they're shooting at. You'd be using the bigger ball. You would be dunking at the levels that they're dunking at. Like, there's only been like 7 women in the WNBA that have dunked, right? We go to any team in the NBA right now, they have 7 plus the rest of the roster can all dunk, right? It's a rarity in men's professional basketball to not dunk. It's a rarity. And in college, there's, you know, obviously based on where you go, but the other thing is, you go to high school, those high school dunking contests in men's, you don't have that in women's at all, right? Like, to go around the whole country, you might find 5 high school girls that can dunk a basketball. Maybe. Don't know. Don't quote me on that. But if only 7 in the NBA can dunk, how many are dunking in high school right now, right? But we can find at least 100, probably 1,000, maybe even 5,000, maybe even 10,000 high school basketball players that can dunk at basketball. Okay? Like, it's a completely different sport. And they want to keep comparing them as they're the same thing. If I'm a chef at a Bobby Flay 5-star restaurant, Michelin restaurant, and I'm a chef at like a local restaurant in a small town, I shouldn't be like, I need to make the same as that other chef. No, completely different. It's a completely different worlds. And that draws so many people away from the game. And you're trying to compete and do that. It's not going to work. You're going to get some support. And then when people start really breaking it down, they're going to realize it's a sham and that you don't deserve it. All right. One, you're playing for 4 months compared to those guys and how much they're playing. Yes. Throughout the rest of the year, you probably have to train because it's a professional sport and there's always people gunning for you. I get that. That's not my problem. Maybe that's what you need to negotiate. You make so-and-so outside the season. So whatever. I don't know how those contracts work. So you're drawing people away from the game by demanding that you should get paid the same as men when you don't get the volume of viewership. You don't get the volume of ticket sales. You're losing average $100,000 a game. Okay? You don't have the same sport because you're not running as fast. You're not dunking. You're not shooting long threes like they are. Caitlin Clark, exception. All right? But you have one of your biggest names was the worst shooter within 5 feet of a basket. Your NBA Finals game, everyone shot 30 to 35%. Right? It's not that good as a team. That's pretty bad. Allen Iverson was considered a bad shooter. That was his career shooting. Right? But if he shot that, he'd be at the best of the best in the WNBA in teams in shooting. It's not going to work. You have to shoot better, right? And unfortunately, there's videos and clips of just terrible playing of WNBA All-Star games. And it is what it is, right? You could probably find that in NBA stuff, especially with Draymond Green and some others doing some boneheaded stuff, right? But it just looks bad for your league when you're demanding this and you're demanding that and you're trying to say you're the same as this other league, but you're not, right? Embrace the differences. Embrace that you're women and that you're doing something that's a difficult thing for women to do, which is play basketball at a high level, and just embrace that. And stop trying to compete with the men's game. It's going to fail. And every time you do that, you're losing men that like basketball, that want to watch basketball. You're losing them. Women, I mean, Bill Burr said it best. He's like, I got so much other shit to do. He's like, I can't watch and support your sports. Like, that's your thing. I got this. Like, do with it. And that's something they got to appeal to. They got to appeal to women. I think the thing that they've done better than anybody else is they had like a kids' night, like a game night, and they went on the court and they practiced and they did all this awesome stuff. It was phenomenal. By far, to me, that was the highlight of their season. It's how they give back to the kids and stuff like that. And other sports will do that. That's what the WNBA contributed this year. And they need to embrace that they're different. You know, that they are going to go to games and they're going to be different, and they wear nails, and they do this, and they do that. They need to just embrace that, right? Stop trying to act like you're the men's side, but in women's. You're like, it's not working. It's been proven for 20-some years, if that's the direction you've been going towards it, that it's not the same. In the beginning, you guys were, I thought you were great. And you didn't embrace that I remember. But now you kind of are, and it's pushing people away. I can tell you right now, pushing people away. So let's get to this WNBA Finals. Right, they said it's like the best finals of all time. It's best of five. They're going to expand it to best of seven because they want revenue. I get that. That's what all leagues eventually do. Is five the best for women? I mean, you're looking at a 40-game season, and then you're going to play seven for the finals? To me, that... No, expand the season and then make seven. But if you keep a 40-game schedule and then you're going to play seven games, like, that's too much compared to the amount of games in a season. You know what I mean? And Major League Baseball has had this issue when it comes to their sport. When it came to their playoff, they wanted to do a one-game playoff. That's stupid. Teams like, we played 162 games just to have this one-game playoff that determines whether we stay in the playoffs or go home. And it's like, you know how hard that is, making sure you have your pitching staff there, and then you got to have your pitching staff for this one game, and then you screw up for your next series. It's a debacle to me. And they realize that, and they've changed it to three. But now they have teams that are sitting at home, and it doesn't work out for them almost all the time. Just look at last year. This year, slightly different. Slightly. But look at last year. All the 100-win teams lost. They didn't even win. I don't think they won a game in the playoffs. I think they all got swept. So, yeah. So, some teams are still trying to figure out how to do their playoff system. I thought NFL had it perfect a couple years ago. I do not like the expansion, but that's just me. But I thought that I think going to seven with 40 games is a bad idea, personally. Yeah, it'll generate more revenue, but it's just too much in a 40 game season to have seven games determine your champion. I think five was perfect. So it went all five. The first game, the Liberty, who were the best team all year, choked. Brianna Stewart was like, what are you doing at the end of the game? You cost your team the game. Just be honest. You might be a great player, but at that stage, you got to do what you got to do. If you want to be one of the greats, you got to come through when it matters. That's how the greats are remembered, right? And then, you know, they come back in game two, and then the Lynx choke game three, and then come back in game four, and then game five happens. But before game five, both coaches have complained about the referees multiple times. The referees are doing a mediocre, below mediocre job. If this is your best and someone's tuning in for the first time, they're going to probably not come back to watch your league, knowing that these are the fouls that are called, these are the fouls that are not called, these are the turnovers that are missed. It was bad. And you had two great teams competing with bad refs, and it's not a good look. And then you get to game five, and it's, you know, championship decides it. And it's a close game. And here we go. The Lynx can't close it out and make the upset. So they give an opportunity to the Liberty. And Liberty's superstars are not having a good game. Which, you know, they'll say, well, like, it happens. It does. Every now and again, a superstar in a big game doesn't come through when you need them. But right now, you had a history of it. You didn't win last year. And now this year, if you lose again and your superstars don't come through at the end, it's going to look even bad. So they give it to their biggest superstar, Stewart, again. And she gets fouled with 5 seconds left. and send it to overtime. The Lynx have about 5,000 turnovers in overtime and lose the game by 7. Terrible sloppy play when your season's on the line with a few minutes left. And then it kind of shows that the season was determined on that foul. And people start tweeting about the foul. LeBron James, Damian Lillard, all these people are complaining about the foul. Here's my issue with all of that. And I would love to go toe-to-toe with any of these people complaining about the foul. The foul is irrelevant. Whether they didn't call it or they called it, I could care less. They screwed up the bigger issue, which was Stewart traveled before the play. So the foul should not even have had a chance to happen. Whether she got fouled or didn't, no one would talk about that if you made the correct damn call, which was a travel. It's clearly obvious. She takes, I believe it was 3 steps. I don't have the video in front of me. Pretty sure it was 3 steps. And then she puts the ball on the ground once and then goes up. Maybe twice. Right? But she travels. It's completely obvious. She takes way too many steps. Which, how? You're a professional athlete. At the end of a game, you're getting the ball right where you want it. How do you travel? But it, to me, she seems like she's got a history of not being clutch, at least in the professional level. Can't comment on her past in the at college. I believe she went to UConn. But yeah, so it reminds me of Chris Webber, and everyone remembers his timeout call in 1993. But the bigger issue was he traveled before then. No one would talk about this timeout if they made the correct call before then with the same player. It wasn't, you know, it's not like someone fouled the player and then the player did something and then both of those players traveled and it wasn't called. And it changed, and I wouldn't say it changed the course of history, for because UNC would have the ball and they're already winning. And the timeout wouldn't have mattered. But you don't want to have bad calls at the ends of games. And it seems like that's all the WNBA was having happen. And that's not a good look. There needs a change. So my issue is make the right damn call before then and the Lynx win the championship and the correct team wins. You literally stole a championship from the Lynx. I mean, I'm not an anti-Liberty fan. It might seem like that. I may have been rooting maybe more for the Lynx just because I wanted to see the upset. But to have that travel not happen, how can you explain that they don't deserve that championship? They should have that ball with whatever time, and they might have still blown it. And people could say, well, they had 5 minutes in overtime. All the momentum's changed. They're deflated. You know, and you could see by their turnovers, they were out of it. They were 5 seconds away from winning a championship. They're upset about the call, and they just can't refocus. It is what it is, right? It's tough. It's an emotional game. You're looking, you're like, we should win. That's not a foul. Some of them are probably like, she already traveled. If they were paying close enough attention to that, maybe they were. Don't know. But, yeah, so, like, you got to get past that and move on and focus for the next 5 minutes to win a championship. And you have like 30 seconds to regroup it's going to be tough. So the momentum was definitely in the Liberty's favor. I think the championship was, you could say, stolen, I guess, from them. But no one's going to remember that. And, you know, the Liberty are celebrating like they deserve the championship, which you kind of didn't. I mean, you'll take it. And just like everyone in sports, hey, man, the call is a call. You don't control the call. You just go with what it is. And you did, and you won. Congratulations. Have a chance for a repeat because you have some really good players. But overall, the WNBA dropped the ball this year. And it should be interesting to see what happens in the next season. There's talks of 3-on-3 for some girls in the off season to make more cash, this and that. Who knows? You know, you have no idea what's going to happen. But what I do think is that the WNBA, with their deal for TV, it should definitely help them. How long can this league survive losing $40, $50 million? How long will these owners of the NBA be okay with that? And people can complain. I hear it all the time. It's like, well, they're owners and blah, blah, blah. They got billions of dollars. You don't want to lose money regardless of where you are and the social status of the world, you know? And people talk about, like, what do you expect? Like, it's like a new league. It's not a new league. It's been around for a quarter of a century. That's not new. You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? And, you know, you can be like, well, you got to invest in. They've invested a lot. They've invested a ridiculous amount of money from the get-go. And they continue to put money in. And you could say, well, this new deal, it's like worth $50 million or whatever. Okay, so now they're even. So this year they broke even. Fantastic. And then next year, okay, will they start turning a profit? Maybe. How much? So it's still got to cancel out all the other seasons, right? So until it cancels out 25, 26 seasons, and it takes 25, 26 seasons before to do it, you're saying a return on your investment is going to take 50 years? No one's going to want to do that, right? I'm a 60-year-old owner. I'm 65 years. You tell me, hey, invest someone $50 million into this business, and in 50 years, you'll start turning a profit, but it'll be minimal. Who the hell is going to agree to that? Put that on Shark Tank. None of those people are going to do it. You know, take the WNBA as a concept with your numbers, show it to the Shark Tank people. None of them are going to invest, right? It's a money pit. So to complain that the owners are upset about the amount of money that they're losing doesn't make sense, right? They have every right to complain. Because you know in your head, if you invest a certain amount of money, when you want that money back and when it should start turning a profit and what the number should be. Is it a 5-to-1 ratio? Is it a 2-to-1 ratio? You know, is it slow and steady over from year one to whatever, you know? There's a number in your head that makes it doable for you. And people don't understand that because they just don't have money. And I'm not saying I have money, but you got to understand, I'm putting yourself in their shoes, even if you have $1 billion in the bank, to give away $10 million for something that's never turned a profit or even broken even, you're going to be like, why am I still doing this? You know, I can take that $10 million this year, take it to a horse track, bet a 2-to-1, I can double my money. I was like, or I just go home without it and it's whatever. you know, which is the same as doing the WNBA. And you could say, well, you're employing people. You're doing this. Yeah, there's a million jobs out there that have all of that. So there's some jobs that just exist that maybe don't need to exist, right? Like people talk about, I think it was Michigan has like 900 DEI employees that are like just strictly to teach DEI or something like that. And I this is something from like Bill Maher, I kind of remember. And he's like, how many is too many, right? So if we get rid of those, are people is the saying, well, you're hurting the economy because you're getting rid of all these jobs. Maybe there's like, that's just the way capitalism and the money and the machine works, right? There's some jobs that just don't exist anymore. When someone creates a job, that shouldn't be a job for the rest of eternity, right? New technology comes out. New this comes out. New that comes out. We don't do things in old methods anymore. We find new way to do things, and those jobs just go away. And I'm not saying that should happen to the WNBA, but I'm saying that's what an owner is going to look at when they're putting money in and they're getting losses after losses after losses. I mean, you split $50 million across the 30 teams, it doesn't seem like a lot. It's only $2 million. Yeah. But when you put it all together and you say, this league of 12 teams is losing this much money, you kind of go, well, if we add 10 more teams, that's even more money, right? So the WNBA, the closing ceremony of this speech closing, they need to get their act together. They need to realize that people are tuning in and want a good product. And right now, you're producing a bad product. And that is because of your referees. That is because of stupid, petty fouls. That is because people on teams aren't defending. There are superstars. And the other thing is, you're not cashing in on your superstars. I only see Caitlin Clark in newspaper, like clickbait stuff. And I don't see her anywhere else. Now, I don't live near a city, granted, but I should be seeing her on all sorts of crap, right? Is she on a Wheaties box? Is she on this? I don't know. But you need to find a way to get better marketing out there. And highly disappointed in that. They dropped the ball this year. People are going to give them a second chance next year. And after that, they may not give them another chance. They may just be done. But the WNBA has a possible bright future if they play the cards right. And that's some of the things I talked about, like embracing that you're not competing against the men. You're a different sport. Embracing that will make you more successful. Complaining that you're making so-and-so amount of money, like Angel Reese saying she's making $76,000, she's spending $90,000 on a damn apartment. That's not on us. That's on you. You shouldn't be spending that kind of money on an apartment. Maybe you can find a place for half the price, you know, but you're just hearing all these, I mean, it's just too much. Like, they need to get their act together. They need to grow up. And they need to sit down and have long conversations after this season of what they screwed up, how they're going to change it. They need to get new referees in there ASAP or train them to see plays. Because you never, ever want to have a championship, especially nowadays, with all the technology you can see and spread, to have those kinds of calls at the ends of games with those referees. Does not look good for your sport. It makes it look very unprofessional. And you can kind of get away with this in the 40s and 50s when you'd had terrible cameras, couldn't really replay things, and it was going on human eyes at the moment. No one could challenge it because no one could see it again, right? So then the people that disagreed were just journalists saying what they saw and stuff like that. Like, you don't have that anymore. You have to step your game up. Step your game up this offseason. Come back better. You screwed up the Portland expansion. I might be wrong on that. I hope I'm not. I hope I'm not. Should be going to Philadelphia. Should be going to Boston. Should be going to Miami. Should be going to Charlotte. Do some more crap on the East Coast. Don't understand why you think the West Coast has all the women's basketball. Don't know. All I know is UConn, women's, South Carolina, Tennessee, all the big boppers in women's basketball. East Coast, put your teams on the East Coast more. Don't understand it. Seattle, yeah, it seems like a great idea. LA, great idea. They've been around for forever. Houston, great idea. You know, and you're putting them in pockets where NBA teams are. Awesome. However, look at what is traditionally in college basketball for women's. Where they're at. That's where you should be looking around. Big cities around those that have pockets of, we care about women basketball, and we're going to support those schools, and we're going to support that team. That's where you should be looking at. Like, if you went to Sacramento right now, I'd be done. I'd be like, that makes no damn sense whatsoever in the whole game plan. So be smarter. Maybe they gave a lot of money. It doesn't matter to me. You screwed it up. You should have denied Portland. But yeah. Going on a little bit of a rant here. This is actually a pretty long podcast. We're not expecting this episode to be this long. But I will be sending this. It'd be like Serpico. Or if you look at it like Always Sunny Serpico reaction. I'm going to make this a tape. I'm going to take it to the commissioner of the WNBA. I'm going to put it on her desk. We'll find a way to get it to her. And she needs to listen to this. This is 40 minutes of what you guys did wrong, how you guys can fix it. All right. Boston, Philadelphia, Charlotte, maybe Tennessee. Probably not. Miami. Those are the places you'd be looking at for expansion. Not Portland. Not a failed town already. You got to give them a few years. Maybe that should be like Team 20. Not Team 13. What are you doing? You're blowing it up. Find ways to promote your big superstars better. I personally think you need to try to find a way to get rid of the Angel versus Caitlin saga. Get rid of that. That's not a good look. All right? It's going to pit people against each other. They're going to do stupid, petty stuff over and over like you already saw this year. That's going to lead to idiot. They're going to be like, oh, it's like Bird. It's like Magic. No, it's not. They haven't won anything. It's not like that. All right? They got to where they got in college, and you kind of can compare it. I see that aspect of it. And people will look also at the color aspect. I get that. However, they're not going to help you if you only pit it against that. Because then it's not the 70s, it's not the 80s, where you're trying to like make one race versus the other. Like, that's stupid. All right? Because what's going to happen, it's just not going to lead to the right thing. It's a dumb idea. You need to just promote your superstars. Promote Angel. Promote Caitlin. Promote Aja Wilson. Promote, you know, I don't want to say Breonna Stewart. I would rather say Sabrina. However, probably Breonna, more people would care about. And there's others, you know. Promote them. You should be having them, like, get together for photo shoots, doing stuff. The Olympics, you thought like people would care about it. People didn't care about it because Caitlin wasn't in it. And you got to make controversy by saying that she didn't belong, although stat-wise, she was leaps and beyond of Teriyasi, right? So that didn't make any sense. So you're just showing your pettiness by not putting her on the Olympic team. So 4 years from now, when people stop caring about your sport because you're screwing it up, she'll be there on the team and maybe people will jump back in. I don't know. So that was another missed opportunity. Not your fault, WNBA. You don't make the Olympic basketball team. Maybe they should have reconsidered that. That's on them. However, you need to just put them all together, have photo shoots with your superstars together, having fun, looking like a team, talking to journalists or whoever about basketball and the sport, right? Not trying to make it Angel versus Caitlin, because all you're doing is having one team against another team, and you have these 12 other teams, or 10 other teams, 11 other teams soon, that are many of them better than both of those teams, right? And you're not giving them no talk, no promotion, right? The Aces just won 2 championships in a row. How much did I hear about the Aces? Almost none. All right, but I can tell you a lot about Chicago. I can tell you a lot about Indiana. It makes no sense. So, this is my plea to make the WNBA better. You do these things, your sport becomes better. You'll thank me. I'm going to try to get some more podcasts out here, out there, in the netherworlds. Or the interwebs, whatever you call it. It's getting late. It's 10:16 p.m. on a Friday night. I've been sitting in my car trying to eat ice because I'm parched. But Commissioner, WNBA, all these people of the WNBA, listen to this message. And no, this is not a guy mansplaining anything. This is a fan of basketball who knows what he's talking about. And doesn't even matter what gender I am. It's a fan of basketball that understands the game and understands what you need to do to be better. I can do the same thing with the NBA. Maybe I'll have to do that, right? But, I mean, I don't know what else to say. So, thanks for listening to this way too long episode. But I hope you enjoyed it. All right. Peace.